Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Do the Right Thing! Hello and welcome to Do the Right Thing, the podcast panel show that wants you to do the right thing in any situation. For example, when is it okay to kiss a lady's hand? When you're a Spanish duke or she is the Pope? So let's meet the teams for today. First of all, floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee, smells like a soya bean. It's Michael Legg. And she is like the ghost of a drowned romantic. It's Bridget Christie. And competing tonight, she's all woman, apparently. It's Margaret Caborn Smith. Here's the Ringo starter, Steve Punt's John Lennon. It's John Holmes. It's time for the first round, the importance of being right.
The importance of being right.
In this round, I'm going to present each team with a scenario and they must tell me the correct thing to do according to, more often than not, nutbags in cyberspace. Michael and Bridget, you first. You have a wonderful back garden.
Thank you.
Everyone who meets you says it's the best garden ever. They love it. Until one day, some idiot moves in next door and plants a massive tree that overhangs your fence. Leaves and plums fall off the tree and leave a stinking mess on your lawn. They refuse to do anything about it. But what is the right thing to do in this situation, according to gardenlaw.co.uk?
Right, can I just check? It's not a euphemism, is it? It's an
actual...
I think plums dropping garden. Is a euphemism. Definitely a euphemism.
In someone's plums. Back garden.
Yeah. Yeah. Neighbour.
I'd wait till they got home.
Yeah.
And then I'd knock and I'd say... I hope I haven't caught you at a bad time.
This is in great detail, Bridget. I'm really enjoying it.
I don't like confrontation, but if you don't sort it out, then I'll get the police.
That's good.
Well, you can, if something is hanging over your garden legally, you can chop it off and not.
Yeah, but if it's plums, right, as you were suggesting, why is it a problem? Because you've just got free plums. Why would it be an
you
issue?
You might be allergic to them.
Well, but then don't cut them off.
You say that.
I do say that,
if
yeah.
you cut something off and then kept it, that is against the law. It belongs to them.
What?
Yeah.
Not if it's...
It's in my
airspace. Yeah, yeah.
Come
if
on.
It falls...
Still belongs to them.
Hey!
You have to give it back.
So you can pelt it back at their face.
You're allowed to do that, yeah.
We've got a roof terrace, right, and we haven't got a garden... No, we haven't got a garden. All right, it's not a roof. All right, you can stand on our roof. That's what it is, basically.
Like Santa?
No, it's a flat roof. And it was really windy last week, right? And my neighbours, they've got a proper terrace with pots and stuff. And some wine glasses and everything flew over into our roof.
Yeah.
So
you
what,
have to give
I have
them
to
back.
Give them back?
Well, you have to check if they want them.
They didn't want them.
But then that's all right. But if they'd have come round saying, where are our broken wine glasses? We want them for some sort of disgusting S&M play.
So I'd have denied I had them.
It was perfectly acceptable for me, and this did happen, when a woodpecker, right, flew into my neighbour's window but fell dead my side of the fence, and I just lobbed it over. Technically, that's legally theirs,
no.
though, isn't it? That's what you were saying.
But no, do they own
it? It died on their window.
No.
And I locked it back.
If I came and died in your house, John,
I'd give you to the neighbours.
No, but you wouldn't. But also, you wouldn't own me at any point.
I fucking would for about half an hour.
We've said. set the bar, then.
Thing is, I fell out with a neighbour years ago because he kept saying that my dog pooed in the front of his house, which my dog never pooed in the front of his house. And he said, well, I'm really getting angry, your dog keeps pooing in the front of my house. No, she doesn't. Trust me. Dog doesn't go anywhere near the front of your house without me, and I would notice if she was having a poo. Because no, it's definitely happening. And then started shoving leaflets through my door saying, it's £100 fine if your dog shits in the street. If your dog shits in the street, that's I'm going to fine you £100. And the thing is, I had to be physically stopped from going round to the front of his house and shitting because it didn't say anything about me shitting.
And you know, the bonus is that shit would still belong to you.
Yeah.
And like
I want it back.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to return it.
Yeah.
Well, let's go over to producer Ben, who has the actual answers for us.
You can't cut down the whole tree yourself, but even though the tree's overhanging your garden, it still belongs to your neighbour. You can chop the branches back to your garden boundary, so point to Bridget. And. And you don't need to ask the neighbour's permission first, but you must return any chopped off branches, leaves and fruit to the neighbour. To keep them is theft. Or you could just sue the neighbour for trespass, nuisance or negligence.
You were right.
Well, that's...
Yeah, well done. Or you could cut off their horse's head and hide it in their bed. Another option.
If their horse puts its head over your fence, you can legitimately hack it off.
Margaret and John, here is your one. You're attending a romantic singles night on the Orient Express. You're dressing for dinner and putting on a beautiful and expensive evening gown, John, when you realise there is a crazy man who has taken over the controls and is driving the train straight towards a bomb. You need to get off the train and fast. According to brainfuel.tv, what is the right way to do this?
To get off a speeding train?
Yes.
Well, first tuck the evening gown into your knickers, because yeah. That's not going to
Well,
that's
you're, as we've established already, you're a corpse that's sharing the cabin with me.
Just because I mentioned dying earlier does not now instantly
It's aroused
me,
and so I'm going to tuck my evening gown into your knickers.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I'm going to stop now. Well, it's the Orient Express, so it's not a British train, because it would be stopped, obviously. I mean, I live in Kent, and I travel on South East. That doesn't move fast enough for anyone to consider
anyone,
going near a bomb.
It's quite a fast train.
No, so I'm going to guess that well, there'll be another example about South Eastern trains before that, right? Because no, this is really, really annoying. I was on South Eastern trains, right? And the train stopped in the absolute middle of nowhere. And there was an obstruction on the line, OK? And then we sat there and they didn't tell us what it was. And then a police helicopter landed in the field next to the train. And they said, there's an obstruction on the line, we've had to call the police, we can't move, we were there for an hour. In the end, it turned out, because it was the Medway Towns, some chaff had just put an armchair on the line. Now, to my mind, if you're in a train, that could smash through an armchair. I'm just cross about
no,
this.
No, no,
why have they taken off the furniture catchers from the front of trains?
Yeah, I know.
I had a brilliant time, though, on South Eastern trains when it stopped in the middle of nowhere for no reason. It was actually just one of the greatest moments of my life. It genuinely was. In fact, I've never felt better about myself because I was there for, like, 2 hours, maybe even three.
Were you on the same train as me?
Could have been.
One? Yeah.
It could have been. It was maybe about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I know, yeah. But I wanted to go to the loo, and I held on. I held, because I don't like going into the little loo in the toilet. So I held on as long as I could, and I thought after about 3 hours of needing a wee-wee, I thought, like, I'm just going to have to go. So just as I'm about to get myself ready to stand up and walk down the corner, this announcement comes up and just says, would any doctor or medical staff please go to coach C? Now, I get up immediately and start walking towards the loo, which is in coach C. And genuinely, everyone that I passed looked at me like they wanted me more than they've wanted anyone in their life. He's a doctor. Men and women were slightly brushing me as I went past. Women putting their fingertips into their wet mouths as I walked past, staring at me longingly. And you know what? I felt, for the first time, Bridget, I had a good job. I respect. People thought I was someone to look up to, and it all ended when I went psh on the bottom of a toilet.
Margaret, have you had any scary journeys?
I've never been on a train.
Just a horse and carriage everywhere.
Yes, I'm double-barreled.
I don't know, do you jump? I mean, if the train. If
you jump at an angle.
You jump
at an angle.
At an angle.
In a suit with a gun.
This is physics.
Do you jump forwards or backwards off the train?
I think you have to do a forward roll.
You can't jump backwards because you'd be going against, you know, the laws of physics like Brian Cox.
Well, no, but in which way the train's travelling?
Jump in the direction of the train. Because you have to keep up with the speed of the train.
Producer Ben, is this right?
I don't think so. Oh!
The answer is you should jump forwards off the train, otherwise you'll end up travelling backwards very fast using your bottom as a brake.
That's what forward. I said.
You need to use a jump and roll technique. Aim to hit the ground with one shoulder and roll into a ball on impact. Try to jump from the train while it's going slower, round a corner or uphill. Don't jump onto debris that could be dangerous, such as boulders, scrap metal, junkies needles, or onto a live track.
Or a wall. Jump onto junkies needles. We'd have to go out of your way to actually jump onto junkies needles.
Have you been through the Medway Town?
Bridget did get some points there.
That was your point. That was
She did.
She said a forward roll.
Give her a round of applause. She needs it. We were doing some research on this on Yahoo Answers, and this is a genuine query by a member of the public on this. Trains scare me. I have a fear of stopping in my car at a railroad crossing and having a bum jump off the train and hijack my car from me. Is this even possible? And the top answer was, this is enormously unlikely. And the next answer was, only an exceptional bum could do this. And at the end of that round, I think we're all a bit older and wiser, and we know a lot about John Holmes's plums.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So let's move on to agony. In this round, we ask the panel to tear apart real problems from real people as we get them to be agony aunts. So let's start with this. This is a real letter sent into a proper newspaper that Margaret Caborn Smith is going to read out for us.
Dear agony aunt, I'm 23 and love 1950s music, film and clothes. I even work as a Lindy Hop tutor. But what I don't get is this. I have huge breasts and they really get in my way. They're 34GG and I'm only a size 8. Diddums. I can't run. I get rashes underneath. Yeah. Guys are only interested in them, not me. And you know what? The NHS won't take me seriously when I ask for a breast reduction. Yet they give breast implants to some women. What's the world coming to? So the question is actually, what's the world coming to? Which is quite vague.
Michael, what's the world coming to?
Well, you know, what she should do is, if she thinks it's uncomfortable, then you deal with it properly by constantly eating and letting the rest of her body catch up with her.
But they might they might get bigger, you know, exponentially.
I think that's
might
good
do. I think it's worth the
Does
risk.
That happen? Do they fill with food? Is that what happens?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Mine do if you stuff them.
Okay.
Yes.
Bridget, what advice?
Is this after you're dead or before?
Will you just stop going about me being dead?
Bridget, you're a lady. You've got breasts. What would your advice be?
Okay. Look, you know, it's all relative, you know. To her, it might be a big thing.
Exactly. Two big things.
So... No.
No.
That's not good enough. Okay, she's 23 and she's got big boobs.
And she's a size 8.
And she's a size... My advice, as a 40-year-old small-breasted woman who has breastfed twice, my advice would be... fuck off! I mean, fuck off!
Yeah, you'll miss them when they're gone. That's,
Really? No, let's be sick, because I said it's relative. Fuck off! No.
I, you know, though, they say that your perfect breast size, like if you can hold a pencil underneath your boob, then your breasts are too big. But I can fit a hairdryer under mine. It stays there.
I went to a shop and the train station near where I live recently, and I wanted to get a bottle of Coca-Cola.
Remember, we're talking about boobs.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you about my interesting life. Sometimes I go to the shop. Enough of that story. Move on. Do I get a point? But this lady got into the shop just in front of me, and she got whatever she wanted, and it said, that'll be, like, whatever, £3.50. And she went, OK, and put her hand in her bra and took out a tenner on a hot and sweaty day. And the bloke just went, oh, I haven't got any change, which clearly was a lie. And then she turned to me and she said, oh, look, you wouldn't have change of a tenner. And I wasn't like the shopkeeper. I was an honest person. I went, it was in your tits.
You should have put your hand down your pants.
Yeah. Hang on, I'll just wank some change out.
John, have you got any advice for this poor lady?
Well, I don't know. Could you... is there such a thing as a tit donor card? I don't know. Can you
what,
you
know... Just wanna... cut them all off.
Well, I'm not suggesting cuts them all off, just maybe one of them and spreads the other one around to form. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who donates their tits?
No, John. John, no. No, John, no.
This is not nice.
Just graft one onto a cow or something. No,
this is not
I'm
nice.
Dying, but I hope my breasts live on.
Exactly.
Ben, do we have answers?
Yeah, there is an actual answer, but it's as vague as the question, really.
Oh.
This is the whole answer. In its entirety. The Agni Aunt answers, what's the world coming to? It's coming from real to fake. It's coming from, I'm a male consultant and I can't see the problem. It's coming from, would you just strip off for me? However, I'm with you. Big breasts are just huge, annoying lumps of fat.
Sorry.
What he's done there is mix up breasts with Chris Moyles.
Sorry, that was the answer from who?
An Agni
Aunt.
I know.
Are they registered? I can't. I thought this was going to be fun tonight.
No. No one else did.
Michael, I believe you have another problem from a publication to read out for us.
I do have a problem, actually.
Here we go. Dear Agony Aunt, I'm 54, handsome and intelligent. It's not much of a problem. But my car is crashing into a fucking ravine. No.
Must go. Yours sincerely.
I'm 54, handsome and intelligent. I work full-time, but to earn a bit of extra cash, I'm also a part-time escort. I entertain a 39-year-old woman regularly, and I treat her to a great evening out whenever we meet up. The only thing that bothers me is she expects sex, including foreplay and French kissing. You can believe such a thing. She also insists on going on top, as she's a size 22. That can really hurt my rib cage. When I've complained in the past, she's called me just a gigolo. Is this from David Lee Roth? Because he's about 54, isn't it? Because I'm getting paid. I told my boss all of this, but she just says that it's down to me whether I agree to sex or not. Do I have to offer sex to be a successful escort? You arrogant bollock.
Margaret, you're
Do you know what? I hope that 22-stone woman is actually five blokes in a fat suit. All fucking him every night.
Margaret, you're a kind woman. What would your advice be?
You know, size 22 is not the same as 22 stone. Just wanted to...
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't really listening when I was reading.
Has anybody got any advice for this poor man?
I really object to the fact that he was given the answer in his own letter. He said, she said, it's up to you. There's a lady over there nodding. This is the first time this has ever happened to me. Thank you.
If you hired an escort...
If.
When you hire an escort...
Yes.
Would you expect him to have sex with you?
I was taught when I was young that men just...
just wanted to have sex just all the time with all women.
Who taught you that?
And, well, you know, I went to a convent school. That's kind of the impression you get. But I think that's...
Sister Perv told you this.
But it made my teens and early 20s very, very unhappy because, I mean, nobody wanted to have sex with me.
I was taught by nuns. They never said anything about sex.
No. We'll talk about it.
I was taught by nuns, and they said no one wants to have sex with you.
Because you're a man. But they thought. Hundreds of miles away, my name was being used.
So the agony aunt in this case was a Nolan sister. It was Colleen Nolan in the
She's
Daily
in
Mirror.
She's in the mood for problems.
So what did she say, Producer Ben? What was her advice?
She said, you shouldn't have to have sex as an escort. So who said that first?
Me.
Caleb Smith did, yeah.
You should.
It's really scary. I am never being your prostitute.
She said, maybe you should find a more supportive agency. And this is a direct quote. From the many telephone boxes I've been in, there are many, many escort agencies to choose from.
Well, I wonder what happened to the Nolans, and now we know, don't we?
You've seen how useless the panel are answering real questions from people who we don't even see. So now we're going to test you on the audience. We have asked the audience for their own problems, and I'm going to get you to act like agony aunts to their faces.
Oh, God.
I know. Reel it in. So Tom S. Is Tom S. here? Tom's problem is, my parents split over 2 years ago.
Oh.
How can I make them stop sleeping with each other?
Get in bed between them, Tom. That would be my advice.
Yeah, tell them you've had a nightmare.
Say to them, this is what you made last time. Sorry, I don't know what's come over me, Tom.
So how long has this been going on? Since they split up.
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Were they having sex before that?
The problem is that since my parents split up, my dad seems to think it's a good idea to talk to me about it.
What's it like?
Listen, right?
Well, he keeps going back for more, so probably pretty good.
That's your mother!
Tell us about your mum. Come on, tell us. Where do they have sex? Is it in dad's house or mum's house?
Do you know what? I never asked them that.
Okay, so we don't...
Really? They tell you everything except the location.
Seriously, I think I've got the right answer. You have to start telling your dad about your sexual relationship as well.
Not with your mum. That'll be...
I was getting to it, John.
Oh, it's like Mop the Week.
It's like bloody Mop the Week.
Don't exaggerate, Bridget. You've been given a microphone.
I have. Yeah, I would do that. And if he says that, say, oh, yeah, that's interesting, because last night, and then say something like, keep topping him.
It's a bit of competition.
Just go, if he says, yeah, so me and your mum, you know, last night we 69'd. Then, you know, you just go, yeah, she's good at that, isn't she?
No, I don't think that is what Bridget was saying.
No, that's not what I was saying. No.
If he says we 69'd.
Say she's terrible at it.
You say. You don't say that. You say, well, we 138th. Yeah, it took me a while to do that maths.
Tom, is it right? Who on the panel has given you the best advice?
I'm going to have to say John Holmes.
Come on,
Robert! But you didn't give him any advice.
The advice was to tell him that he was 69ing his own mum. So, I mean, you could
all go and talk to him afterwards. What is this, a kids' programme?
Is Marion in the audience? Yeah. Marion's problem is, my little brother, age 14, is a twat. He likes to walk around the house naked, he never turns things off, and all I can ever hear is him shouting at his friends on the Xbox Live. What can I do? Panel.
Naked and shouting.
How often is he naked, Marion?
Whenever you have a shower.
Well, obviously.
Disgusting! Disgusting!
That is the weird... What, not even his socks and pants on in the shower? He needs locking up. What a disgusting... I want you to send him round to my house. Yeah.
Do you want to elaborate on that, Marion?
After he's been in the shower, he doesn't put any clothes on.
Till when?
Till
when he goes to bed.
Does he go to school and then...
No, just when he's at home.
Oh.
But all the time...
So this is sort of your problem, really.
Does he...
He sounds like a bit of a free spirit to me.
I like him.
I think he's all right.
Are we turning against Marion? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, let's all kick her head in.
Yeah, man. Clues are for, like, the... For, I don't know. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, down with the Tories.
Yeah, stop taxing us, Wilson.
Yeah.
How about the shouting at the
down
Xbox?
Down with the clothes.
Would that annoy you, the shouting?
What does he shout?
Just insults.
Oscar Wilde?
No,
naked insults.
Yeah.
Does he keep shouting while he's getting dressed?
He sounds so brilliant, sorry.
I hope this is... Putting my trousers on! One sock!
Marion, who on the panel has given you the best advice, do you think, in that situation?
I don't think we've given her any, have we?
Well...
Just enjoy your naked brother. He won't always be 14.
No.
Marion has decided no one gets any points, so Ben, Ben, what are the scores so far?
Yeah. Michael and Bridget have got 2, Margaret and John got 2.5.
John and Margaret, 2.5. Anybody in the internet wants a piece of our panel's mind, you can email us at rightthing1@gmail.com and you never know, we might be able to help. Obviously, that's very unlikely. Now it's time to ask an expert. This is the round where we ask an expert what the right thing to do is in scenarios we've cleverly crafted around their actual lives. So this week, our expert is an expert in importing flowers. Please welcome Tim. Oh. Woo.
Hello, Tim.
Right.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
So, Tim, you buy flowers from across the world to put in our supermarkets.
Yep.
Is that as glamorous as it sounds?
Yeah.
All supermarkets or the whole gamut?
Oh, wait, I don't do Waitrose.
You don't do Waitrose?
No,
just the shit one.
A bit too highbrow, yeah.
Marks and Spencer?
I do Marks and Spencer.
Oh, well, that's all right then. Yeah.
Garages?
Sorry?
Where do garages get their flowers?
I can't tell you that.
What about them lampposts?
Lampposts?
Yeah, where do they get them? No, don't clap that, don't clap that. It's embarrassing. Sorry.
Right, so panel, I'm going to give you 1 minute and you can ask Tim some questions to try and gauge him as a man and then we'll try and...
Seven.
Okay, can I start?
So you start, Margaret, yeah.
Would you say there were any flowers that were, like, scientifically evil?
No, there's one flower that just gives out a smell of death. But other than that, no.
What's that?
The smell of death.
Yeah, the smell of death, big time. Yeah, it's a massive flower.
What's
as well.
The smell of death like?
It smells like death.
He's answered it. He's answered.
Surely
it.
You've smelt that a few times tonight, John.
Hi, hi, Tim.
Hi there.
So. Flowers. Do you keep up with modern trends in the flower world?
With regards to...
Well, because I've got this idea for a new wreath. It's in the shape of, like, the colon and open brackets. So sad face. Yeah. Have that as a wreath.
If you've got a business card.
So is that a yes or no? Do you That's keep up? Do you, yeah, you're a cutting edge. Cutting hedge.
What? Fuck you! You get up here and fucking try! My God, I'm the only man that hasn't done a quinn joke!
It's coming up though, isn't it?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Tim, if you were in a restaurant having a romantic and a violinist came up who you knew.
Yeah.
What is this?
With a
and you,
rose.
You hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
And you remember that holiday you went.
You had your time and it was boring! With a playing the violin with a rose in his mouth, would you think, oh, why couldn't that have been a juror?
I'd be concerned about hygiene, you know, with all the thorns and everything. I'd be like, is he cutting his mouth? Is he really concentrating?
So
on the
you
violin?
Would be an unromantic date.
Do you get all your flowers by cutting them from your neighbour's bushes if they're overhanging your fence? Well, the lighthouse keeper's pretty pissed off with us.
Here's scenario number one. A shipment of flowers has arrived from a new Colombian supplier. However, as the containers are opened, you hear screams from the warehouse floor. Hundreds of killer spiders are spilling out and eating the staff. You see the spiders heading for the open warehouse door. If you shut it, you contain the problem, but condemn the company staff to a horrific death. If you leave the doors open, the spiders can escape and terrorise the country in some sort of spider apocalypse. What is the right thing to do in this situation? What do you think Tim would do in this situation?
I think Tim seems quite a moral young man. No, he's shaking his head. It's good, it's clues. He's going to condemn the country.
That's your answer, Michael.
I need that repeated, I'm afraid.
Oh,
because
for fuck's sake.
The reason
you're
I'm
just going to be whispering in Bridget's ear and going, no, 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 no. You deserve what you get and you deserve to lose.
Some killer spiders are on the loose. Right. Tim can either shut the warehouse doors and keep the spiders contained, mm-hmm. condemning himself and the staff to death, or we can let the spiders run free and avoid death.
Can I just point out now, nobody said I was going to die.
Yeah. No, 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 you are in... You're the person operating the doors.
Are you joking?
No. And they can only be operated from the inside. They're that sort of door.
No, the great...
I think I might have given the wrong answer.
The great thing about asking to hear that question again is I've been given the answer by Tim. He would cowardly make sure everyone else died.
And he'd live... What would you do, Tim, if that was the situation?
Funnily enough, what I'd worked out to do was that I'd put everybody into a cold fridge, which is where we store the flowers. The spiders aren't going to go in there. It's a little bit chilly. And then I'd call for help.
That's amazing.
Couldn't get close enough.
Do phones work in fridges?
I hope so.
Here is the second scenario. It's Valentine's Day and your main shipment of red roses arrives and as demand is high, leaves the warehouse quickly as supermarkets around the country are all grappling for them. You take one bouquet yourself to use on a hot date. However, when you get home and put them in a vase, you get an intense burning sensation on your hands. To your horror, you realise that the roses are secreting some kind of corrosive sap. Do you stay quiet or do you call back the deliveries, ruining your chance of a bit of boon?
Just a bit.
What
right.
did Tim do in that situation?
Well, if he's got corrosive sap all over his hands...
It's not on his cock!
But still,
if he's got it on his hands...
It's hard to have sex without
you know,
your hands.
Then that's
but
not going to
go...
My friend Nick, again, I don't know if he's going to listen to this podcast, but he works for Sky News, right? This hand... Right, he, with his girlfriend Jane, at the time, she split up with him.
What does she do?
Very shortly after. She's a teacher. She's a teacher.
Where?
In a primary school
primary
in Portsmouth.
Primary school?
Yeah.
I thought she was primary school
yeah,
teacher.
Yeah, she is, yeah. So he cooked what he said was an endothermic chilli. This was his speciality as a student, right? And he said it was a chilli that was so hot, it cooked itself. That was his thing, right? And so he cut all the chillies, and that was fine. He made this lovely... It was very hot chilli. And then they went upstairs afterwards... And, well, I'll be honest, he fingered her. And,
Oh, my God.
They're not even married.
No. And they... And,
oh, I hate this story. Utterly without moral.
It was without moral, but with a lot of cold shower head.
You're not supposed to use water anyway, are you supposed to use bread?
I think it's milk.
Rice.
What the fuck?
So, yeah.
To finger someone.
On your clitoris. If you've got chilli, I'm saying.
What, soldiers?
You've got chilli on your clitoris.
Soldiers? Dippy soldiers?
What, and an egg? What? What?
Oh, man.
Bridget, you're a lady. What would you do?
Oh, thank you.
Would you recall the products, or would you go on a date with knowing that thousands of lovers could perish?
Could you have a warning?
On the radio?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, my God.
On the radio.
Well, just find out what he said.
Like an air raid siren.
Tim, what would you do in the situation?
I think I'd have to take them back to the factory.
You take them back to the factory?
Yeah,
yeah,
you
that's
are moral.
Thing.
You're lying. You're a good man.
So you would miss out. You would miss out on a date and save.
Nobody
the...
told me I'd miss out on a date.
Yeah, you're like, she's gagging for it.
Well, I think I've misread the question.
Okay.
So what you're saying is you keep on with the date then. You'd actually risk
injury.
Maybe I'd nip to the loo and make a phone call.
Hey, that's what I said. A warning.
Yeah. Well, not like an air raid siren. That's a bit...
On the radio. That's really
well,
not what
we all have different
said.
Types of warning, Tim.
Yeah, all right.
Stop being
you?
Warning racist.
Points to Bridget Christie. Yeah. Do the wrong thing.
Oh. Do the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing.
This is the round where I ask panellists to tell me what is the wrongest thing to do in any given scenario, and the most wrong wings are Kinder Surprise.
Oh,
yeah, that's
I'm
nice.
Vegan.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, so this round will end when producer Ben toots his horn, so here we go. You have the power to raise the dead. What is the wrong thing to do?
Raise Diana. Just to send the Daily Express fucking insane.
Go to death row, right, in Texas, and get all the guilty ones that have been... and line them all up and lead them to the governor of Texas's house by, like, with a little pipe or something, but only five of them, the guilty ones that have been killed, and then say, yeah, I'm from England, and we live in a civilised society, and if you want to live... in it, I've only got five of them here. I can get them all up here to your house, so you better change your laws.
Oh, my goodness.
Pull your trousers up. I think I would spend the entire day, if I could do that, in a tribute to the great television programme Torchwood, by constantly killing John Barrowman and bringing him back to life. I'd enjoy that.
You buy a lottery ticket for your family but forget to tell them, and then you discover you've won the jackpot. What is the wrong thing to do?
Use the money to hire an assassin to kill your family.
Move on.
You discover a beautiful yet unconscious mermaid in your back garden. What is the wrong
bloody
thing?
Ring
up Daryl Hannah and say that they're making Splash 3, but they're not casting her because she's an old witch, and that they've got the actress, and then give her your address.
That's good. Margaret, what would you do to the mermaid?
What do you mean? No, it's not what would I do. It's what's the wrongest thing to do?
Yeah,
don't be trying to
do.
Pin
me.
What would you do?
I'll use either half as a dildo.
I mean, if it's really the wrong thing, then clearly, if you saw a mermaid in your back garden, if it's the wrong thing, clearly, you would force a unicorn to fuck it.
You find a bunny rabbit hidden under a bush. Every time you punch it in the face, it poos a penny. What is the wrong thing to do?
You'd cut the rabbit's guts open and get all the pennies out in one scoop.
Oh, have you not read books?
Well, I've read books, but none of them were about that.
I'd give one to my four-year-old son, right? And then I'd say to him, hey, that's not chocolate, that's rabbit shit. And then when he'd stop crying about that, I'd tell him how I got it.
Michael?
I'm vegan. I would not do anything. Oh. I would not hit a rabbit.
Yeah, but what? You have to say what the wrongest thing
oh, is. Oh, I'd hit the rabbit. And then drink its milk.
Good.
That's the end of the show. Yay! It came quite suddenly. Producer Ben, what are the final scores?
It's very close. Michael and Bridget got 5.
Fuck off!
But with 5
fuck
and a half.
Fuck off! Fuck off!
Oh, no! Margaret and John.
Deserve
I am not doing the next one. Go fuck yourself.
Well go. Done to John and Margaret.
Yeah.
No one in this room believes that.
Thank you for listening. That's the end of the show. Goodbye.
Bye.
Do the right thing. Featured Bridget Christie, John Holmes, Margaret Cable Smith, Michael Legg, flower expert Tim, and was hosted by me, Danielle Ward. I devised it with producer Ben Walker, Martin White for the music. Thanks to the Phoenix for having us and to Sarah Grunt for helping out. Do the right thing was a Fuzz production for the internet.
Yeah!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.